Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
This message is titled Unmasking Satan's Strategy of Deception. Now, deception is Satan's greatest strategy. And I want you to please, if you are writing, put this down somewhere. Deception is one of Satan's strongest strategies. In fact, it is so strong that most spiritual people fall for it. It's amazing. I don't know. I keep trying to stay out of trouble, but I'm going to get into one very soon. I'm going to draw a list of things that we do today that people call spirituality, but they are, or Christianity, but they are spiritism. Shall I give you one of them? You hear things like opening the third eye. Have you heard that before? Who hasn't heard about that before? Wave to me. Okay, I will come and update you. So people are, a lot of pastors are teaching Christians to see visions through the third eye. This is where your third eye is. Have you seen any picture where you see one eye here? That's the third eye. And they are organizing pastors' meetings and anybody who tries to pray for you and is laying hands and touching this place, you need to get out of that place immediately. So there are other things, like you overemphasis on artifact. I saw some guy on TV or online asking people to use coconut water. You pray on it, then you drink it, you pour it, you do all kinds of things. You are seeing all kinds, thousands of likes and shares, and the guy is an apostle. So one of the works of a prophet is to refute whatever is alien to our culture. It's not just to prophesy. All right? So I'm saying all of this because for some reason, a lot of Christians have embraced deception, but they thought it was spirituality. And that's why I want us to read Genesis 3. Because this one affects both spiritual and young Christians. Genesis 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You have to be careful about people who need information from you and they are starting with a question. That's how it starts. Please, you need to note what I'm saying. Be careful about people who will not ask you a direct question. Then they will not ask, they will not make a direct statement, but they will use a question. But they have somewhere they are trying to get to. You have to be very careful. Now, it may happen once in a while, but once you notice that this is a kind of pattern, that person is operating at a high level of deception. So you have to be very careful. Verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. Can you see now? Because with touch comes emotions. It's just a hug. Once there's contact, you are not yourself again. So God says, don't even touch it. Some of you have become so skilled at touching and nothing happens. Such people will blame every other person that this one is not a good Christian, but they are touching. They are touched all kinds of things. Meanwhile, God says what? Don't even touch it. He said, because what will happen to you? Give me that scripture. Lest ye... So this is a separate message, but let's just go forward for the sake of those who are guilty amongst us. You know why I like the Bible is that God is not woke. He has never hid where he stood. It is we young pastors of today that are trying to make God look acceptable. God is not interested in being acceptable. Do you know how old he is? Do you know how people have lived and died? And here you are trying to make God, you are trying to market God. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Forget about it. Your pastor did not teach you well. God said you will die. Satan came and said what? Hey, you will not die. You are taking this thing too far. You have to understand the Rhema and the Logos. When people want to deceive you, they will start teaching Rhema. They call it Rhema rather. I'm telling you, you know, for a prophet to be telling you this, you have to know it's a serious matter. I'm rebrushing my theology. Some things are sacrosanct. You can't shake it. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A person who comes to church regularly and is not saved is not a child of God. That's the implication. He needs salvation, even if he pays tithe or gives tithe. For God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, please hear what the serpent is saying. The serpent is now educating. You know, I told you, it started with a question. Whoever starts with a question intends to educate you or re-educate you. No matter how innocent that person looks, it may be for good or for what? For evil. But the person's plan is to re-educate you. You must understand Satan's strategy. So that I was listening to someone who was a project manager, and she was saying that when you are certified as a project manager and you come for an interview, that we are not so much, and I think this applies to most tech or maybe accounting courses today. The interviewer wants to know, how many of you have been asked, oh, can you tell us a project you are involved with? And you had to use this particular skill or that skill. So you might have put it down in your CV that, oh, I know this model, I know that model. Okay, tell us one project. Because the assumption is that until you have deployed that model, you can't really say you know it. Because your CV may be copy and paste. In fact, somebody just removed, edited the name of the person's CV that he copied. Also left the age, phone number. So they were calling the other guy that your interview. Some people can't even copy well. Take the answer and give to them. They will still write rubbish. Say, sorry, is it too old? Oh God, the answer is, I just gave you this whole thing. Just copy it. Say, but you know you're writing. Oh God, go and fail. if you can't see it. Look at what Satan said. The serpent said, God knows. Come on, say God knows. In other words, he's now trying to present God as somebody who micromanages information, doesn't tell the whole truth, and is not sincere. He said, this thing I want to tell you, if God is here, he cannot say it's not true. God knows. God is hiding something. God knows that in the day that you eat this fruit, what will happen to your eyes? Give me that scripture. Your eyes will be open. That means you are blind now. Don't know what's going on. You are just in this garden. You don't know what's going on about your life. Don't know what's going on about your family. You are just there, shouting, speaking in tongues. Come and receive Rhema. Say, in the day, if you eat this food, this dimension, if you touch this dimension, your eyes will be opened. Give me that scripture. And you shall be what? So what was God concealing? What knowledge was God hiding from Adam and his wife? The knowledge of Godhood. That they have power and dominion over everything. So, A creature, another creature, is trying to help a higher creature understand that he is a God. Do you see how rebellion works? You know, some of you were here in church when I said, when you are running late to the office, it is rebellion to tell your colleague to inform your boss that you are running late. Can you see what's going on here? You have the phone number of your boss. Call him directly. Oh, sir, I'm on the third Milan Bridge. Oh, I'm stuck. Our vehicle is broken down. It shows honor and respect. Say, I told Rolake. Who is Rolake? Rolake is even your junior in ranking. Maybe she's a fellow teller at the bank or a customer service officer. Okay, so does Rolake have what it takes to tell you, no problem, keep coming? Somebody is trying to misrepresent your boss to you, and the person is telling you that, look, your boss is hiding information. I've been here long enough, and I know. I was created before you. I've been in this garden before you. We were here when they were mixing your sand. That's the implication. Somebody is telling you how he wants you to perceive your God. And he's telling you your God is not a sincere person. Say, God knows. I, the serpent, I know. You are the only one who does not know who you really are. I am here to emancipate you. Hallelujah. I want to set you free. That information coming from a lower creature already tells you there's something wrong. And I want you to follow me, because some of you will begin to remember how many times you have listened to people who you have no business listening to, and you later went backwards instead of going forward. He said, your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So there are two things here. Number one is that your knowledge will rise to the point of discernment, accurate discernment. You'll be able to tell what is good and evil. Now, if you have your notes, I want you to put this down. God's plan was not for Adam to know good and evil. God's plan for Adam was for him to know God. Everything Adam does must go through the coloration of God's bias, like how God sees the matter. You want to pick a life partner? The person may check all the boxes. But have you ever asked yourself, what's God really saying about this thing? The reason why most people cannot hear God, and let me tell you, one of the areas Satan will destroy many young Christians in the near future, it's in the area of their marriage. It will destroy them completely. Completely. It will be so massive, there will be no redemption. Because when it comes to the issue of touching marriage, people cut corners. People ask you, do you love him? Do you love her? Have you met her parents? People are bothered about everything. Outside what is God probably saying about this matter? Now, is every Christian required to hear God before they marry? To hear God's voice? No. But can every Christian be led? Yes. If you use the word hear, not everybody hears God through the ears. The Bible says the seeing eyes and the hearing ears, both are created by the Lord. Not every Christian will have a dream telling them, oh, this is your wife or husband. But if you have not grown in your relationship with God before that day, it will be extremely hard for God to speak to you. If you say God spoke to you, you are lying. God will not gamble that kind of decision on untested waters. The decision of whether this person is your wife or husband, or whether you should travel out or not. If you have not been used to hearing God in that particular way, it will be dangerous for anybody to tell you to believe that dream. Because it might just be your mind that you are. It's even better, good for you to say, oh, Pastor, I like him. Than to be lying to yourself and say, God told me. Because when you say God told me, no pastor can change it. That's what people don't know. That's why many pastors kept quiet and left you to go and get married and you got into trouble. Because the general principle is that the highest authority in the heavens is God. The moment somebody says, Pastor, I prayed and God said, no pastor can change it. Only a pastor only loves you will tell you, no, you are wrong. Because the signs are there. If a person says God has said, the only way to check the person is to look at the signs. Because every word that God says will bear some fruit. It will have some fruit that points back to God. And by the time we watch you, you may find that maybe that person, even though the brother says is God who spoke to him, is like he wants to get married in a hurry. And what does the Bible say? Say, those who believe, they shall not make haste. You have broken a rule upon which God's word stands. Haste. Some people will be hiding the partner. They don't want everybody to know too much about them. So nobody will be asking too many questions. You have broken another rule. So you can marry by faith. What Paul teaches us is that do not be unequally yoked to an. Which means the basic rule is that if the matter of salvation has been settled, like both of you are genuinely saved. That is not a question like this person is a serious Christian and you are also a serious Christian. That means you have the Holy Spirit as your common denominator. That marriage can work. But if you know that there is something you've perceived over time, there's something God wants to do with your life, don't go forward unless you have gotten clarification. Because some of us will be civilians, some of us will be soldiers. And if you're a soldier, the discipline for a soldier is different from the discipline of a civilian. And no matter what I say, even this thing I'm saying now, some of you will not listen because you are civilians. What I'm saying is not for serious Christians. It's normal Christians. Because you say, it's their level. No. It's for us. Your parents, who you say they are not spiritual, at least they know better to take the name to one prophet. Because they know what they suffered. You think it's because they like climbing mountains? They knew what they suffered. That's why they don't want you to make mistakes. Even though the prophet will still deceive them, but I mean. So you see that are you blessed? The serpent was marketing knowledge as a sign that their eyes were opened. That when your eyes are opened, you will begin to know things. And God wants to prevent you from knowing these things. Verse 6. And the woman saw that the tree was what? Good for food. She didn't know before. The power of words. Because the enemy was actually painting a picture in her mind. What her life will look like when she marries this guy. When she eats this fruit. When she resigns from this company and moves to the other one. When she does this, or she somewhere in your mind, you are just like, wow, 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 wow. And there's nothing wrong with having a good picture, mental picture of your future. But if Satan is the one painting that picture, it's not real. Because this picture, later we found out, is the reason why we are all coming to church every Sunday. This story is the reason why we are all here now. The people who created this problem, they are dead. Please pay attention. Because this matter is very serious. Because most matured Christians, they fail here. They don't fail with fornication. They fail here. Because it is pride. You see, at the root of this is pride. Yes. Carnality. She saw that this tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Can you see what we are talking about here? Before now, our decision was only premised or based on the fact that God said, don't touch, don't eat. The moment a prophet came and started painting another picture, she now saw that, actually, we've not even checked this tree before. Huh? We've not checked this tree before. Then she saw the tree is actually robust. You can climb the tree. You can even sleep on top of the tree. It's even better than the guava you have been eating. These fruits are so ripe because nobody has touched it. Wow. Okay, if God does not want us to eat it, why did he put it there? Maybe Adam did not hear God well. Where is Adam? We don't know. Let me taste. So the moment that thing began to appeal to the eyes, our spirituality was compromised. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. Because why? Your spirit has eyes. Your mind has eyes. Sometimes you can live in Mushi, but in your mind, you are in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona. So when they say there's no light, in your mind, you've built a virtual augmented reality in your mind. It's like wearing that, what's that mask, that headset. You just find yourself in another world playing video games. So you are there, Phoenix, Arizona. You see yourself there. Every time you come out, you know, just see people roaming about, you're like, me, I'm not here. All I see is Jesus. All I see is Phoenix, Arizona. The moment the woman saw that this enterprise was good and that it was pleasant to the eyes, there was no way she could justify why that God would have said, don't take that decision. And that's the crisis many Christians have. They confuse every good opportunity as God. So this is very serious. So she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. What happened to them? Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were what? Now, does this confirm what the serpent said? The serpent promised them, say your eyes will be open. Is this not confirmation of prophecy? You see, Jesus said, our Lord Jesus said, Satan is the father of lies and that he cannot speak the truth. In this particular context, what he said, was it true? Was Jesus lying? Answer now. Don't be afraid. You just say no. Well, your mind, you are saying yes. He says it's his nature. Once he starts talking to you, have you seen those marketing gurus? For a one-time price of $67. Go and check. Don't buy it here. Go and look at the comments on that post. This I just told you, it took me years to know. I've bought many things like that. Get ultra-realistic voices. Get this, get that. $47. How much is $47? It never occurred to me that allow that post trend for like a week, then go and see the comment. So those who have suffered will come back. And somebody said, don't fall for this. Don't fall for this. It's a bait. They will begin to market the full. This advert doesn't give you the system, what you are paying for. You will have to upgrade and they will upsell you. So when I saw it, I just left the place. There's a particular product I bought on Instagram, or I ordered on Instagram, and the product was going for a particular amount, I think 80,000. So I ordered for it. Then they chatted with me and said, oh, want to deliver? And I said, that's fine. And they said, no, but the price is now 97,000. And I said, what you have on your advert, paid advert, is 85. I said, no, the price has changed. And I said, no. I said, no. They said, it's because of the dollar. I said, did you have the dollar yesterday or today? Because I need to understand. Well, yesterday when I ordered for it, didn't you have the product? So what was this dollar thing about? So I said, okay. So I went to, he refused to answer me again. I just went to the comment section. You know, I've learned. I just posted. I ordered this product. It seems to be some kind of fraud. I just gave a summary. The guy started calling me immediately. I didn't know people can call me. The guy started calling me like, why have you posted that kind of thing? I said, I've not only posted, I've reported you to Meta. I said, you're in trouble. I told him, I said, Omona, you're in trouble. I said, you're in trouble. So it's an old strategy. Satan used it. What he did here was give them a one-time price. And for the next 6,000 years has been upselling us. Upselling us. Upselling us. Do you understand what I'm saying? Buy first, then to get the real thing, upgrade to this thing. When you now upgrade, there's something else. You say, okay, pay $30. By the time you are done, you've paid $1,500. But they're taking little by little. And then when you now have the product, you are tired mentally. Then another product has come out to wipe off that one. The Bible says the eyes of both of them were open. That was true. The serpent told them, say, this thing I'm giving you, when you buy it, your eyes will be open. Did they become God? No. What the serpent didn't tell them was that they were already gods. It has nothing to do with the fruit. Say, let them have dominion. Over the... Have you seen children that you talk to at home? They will not listen. Then they will go to school and be listening to what their friends are saying. Then when you ask them, what they say is, my friend has said, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, how long have we we tell you something, you say you forgot. But you went to school, your friend was just saying something, and you, that was the one you remembered. And you now got into trouble, they called us. It's what many of us are doing to God, though. Your friend did something somewhere. I have stories I can tell you. But today is about the word of God. And I want, if I'm able to get many of us to make this transition and become careful. Number one, the moment the transaction starts with a question, you are the target. So you have to be very careful. Give them an answer that throws them off. Don't answer directly. Because some of you are very truth and naive. No, not truthful. Naive. You believe anybody that talks to you likes you. Jesus said the enemy cannot speak the truth. And now we saw the enemy speaking the truth. Let me give you another example. Paul went to preach in a city, and there was a woman with the spirit of divination who prophesied and said, this is a man sent by God. Now, if I was the one who went to Canada and at the airport, somebody missed me there and said, I had a vision. Are you from Nigeria? Are you Pastor Shafe? I say, yes. Yeah. The Lord gave me your name in a vision and told me to come and wait for that. He has sent you to this land. Is that not the first church member? Talk to me now. That I say, wow. I will now come on our Friday service. I say, why we just landed in Canada? The Lord has given us a family by divine orchestration. Hallelujah. You may say, the angel of the Lord came to me, gave me your name, gave me your wife's name. You say, this must be so accurate. You know Prophet Ayo? The Lord told me, he said, this person is so, wow. That's why your prophets today, the only thing they know is your phone number and your address and all those things. And they are on TikTok doing their hands like this, and people are falling. Because idiots think that's what a prophet is. Idiot. If you believe that's what a prophet is, they are not even here. If you are still deceived by all those things, can people fall under the anointing? Yes. If you still believe that ministry is you coming out of a jeep and somebody is using the camera and just following you up and down, and you think that is what it means to be a man of God, you need to be discipled, both you and the person that is being... You don't understand. Ministry is warfare. It's not showmanship. We are not celebrities. The Bible said, let all things be done in moderation. If they try to put you in the spotlight, remove yourself. You are representing Christ. I know you're a superstar. So now, because of what is going on, if I'm invited anywhere, I will call the pastor and ask. I hope in your church, you don't use camera to follow the vehicle pastors, because I will turn back. Brother Billy Akoni was meant to preach in Ibadan, and they put all kind of billboards and everything, and maybe they put pastor or apostle. He just turned back. He, after coming all the way from Boko, turn back. Say, I'm not the one. But many of us will not like that one. That's how to free yourself from deception. Set boundaries. What did I say? Set boundaries. Anything that breaks down boundaries is suspect. Even if I'm the one. The day I tell you to go and bring salt and we'll spray it around your house, suspect me. The day I tell you I will not pray for you until you give me money, suspect me. I will demand accountability from you, but you also should demand. Pastor, that thing you said, I checked the Bible, I did not see it. Not everything, amen, amen, amen. Ah, what's wrong with you? That's why you did, you failed your exam. Because you they say any question, they say no question. See, and the eyes of both of them opened and they knew. Look at that brother, that sister that was saying, these are men that have been sent from God. But she was saying the truth. Meanwhile, Jesus said Satan cannot speak the truth. So who is lying? Is it Paul or Jesus or even the serpent? What Jesus was trying to tell us is that even when Satan presents an authentic information to you, the primary root and goal, objective, is to deceive you. He said they knew that they were naked. They knew that they were naked. But the serpent had left them. He didn't remember to tell them they will need clothes. You see, because the thing about deception is that once Satan pushes you, he will leave you stranded. And once you are stranded, you enter that panic mode. You start making mistakes. If they had even remained the way they were and were behaving as if they were on cloud nine, God would have said, he didn't know that anything happened. The moment God saw these fig trees on them, fig leaves, something is wrong. This is not how I left you. The moment you are now looking for systems, things to cover yourself. You are doing a business, you cannot really tell people this is what you do. Because the question is, it doesn't match your reputation as a Christian. What are you doing working at Beth Niger? Even if they are paying you $250. Okay, what are you doing? Even playing? Okay, maybe I'm touching some nerves now. Are we together now? How come you know where they are even doing the playing the game or lottery around your area? How come you know the name of the guy with the shop there? How come they know you? You see, the problem with deception, Pastor Tokwe, is that deception draws its strength from things that don't look like outright sin. Eh? It doesn't look like outright sin. Because you didn't kill anybody. It was 100 naira you used. Are we together? Deception will destroy any Christian. It doesn't matter how powerful you are. It will make you a piece of bread. Please, I hope you understand that Adam and Eve were the most powerful beings on earth as at this day. Please, are you with me? I hope you know it was a serpent, a lower creature that Satan used to bring them down. I hope you know that if Eve had chosen to be accountable to her husband by saying, wait for my husband, let him come, they will not be here. I hope you know that if Eve and Adam had put themselves both in a state of accountability to challenge themselves and say, are you sure this is what God said? I hope you know we won't be in this situation. A woman took a unilateral decision and put everybody on earth in problem. If only she could wait for her husband so that they can fight. At least you fight over it, then everybody's head will correct. But for some reason, she must have her way. For some reason. They made themselves apron. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. Do you hear voices walking? Look at it. Can you see the dimension? Can you see the laws that govern the Garden of Eden? The voice of God was what? That voice walking was a revelation of the Son of God. Because Jesus is the voice of God. Is the word of the Lord. And Adam and his wife did what? They did what? Before God said a word, they were hiding. Can you see the elements you can piece together to know if something is wrong with you? You become very sensitive. You don't want to hear any message. There are some people, you start avoiding their message. Because you know you can preach and just talk about fornication. In your office, you share money that you didn't work for. And they call it benefit. If you're a police officer in Nigeria and you're on the road, that you make heaven, eh? It's in God's hand. I'm not sure you will make heaven. I'm not sure. I was in the bus some time ago, and my time is almost up. I sat beside the driver, and they saw the police officers in front on the express already waving us. The guy just put his hand underneath his chair, brought out 15 naira, and started rubbing his head. I say, all the sorrow in my life, all the problem. I didn't see it coming. Like, he was saying, Lord, as I give this one, let all my pain and shame go with this man. And as we got crazy, just say, hey, Sean, sir. He just did like this. Then I say, go. In my mind, I say, wow. Two wicked people. Both the giver and the taker. Every time you are deviating, one of the ways you will know, even if nobody is saying anything, you will become very sensitive to God's presence. You touchy. You don't want to. You will not listen to some people. You will not listen to an arume, for instance. Eh? Arume can just enter express and start talking about sin. Many of your famous prophets and apostles in Nigeria, they don't preach Christianity, they preach spiritism. This principle, that principle, this principle is spiritism. Open the Bible, let's see what the Bible is saying. Forget about this spiritism, people trying to correct Paul the Apostle, people trying to tell us how to mix water and salt and to pray early in the morning before you talk to anybody and they are telling me. Well, our next prophetic school will be advanced class. I won't talk about how to hear God. I'll talk about the spirit of Balaam. I will talk about occultic practices in the church. I will talk about different things that by the end of the school, you won't even know if it was a prophetic school. With what I've seen, with what I see every day, I cannot allow just anybody lay hands on me. Pastors talking in demonic language to another a demon-possessed person. And even saying that I am talking to her in a demon language. Saying it. That I'm communicating with her. And the pastor is still saying it, that what the language I'm using now is demon language. And everybody just stood there like it was nothing. How did we get to that point? When we can have 1,000 people in a hall and nobody is checking anything. I made a statement here last month about the tribe of Reuben. And I came back to correct myself. But nobody here corrected me. Nobody went back to check to say, Pastor, about this thing. If not that God had mercy on me, I would still go about saying rubbish. Meanwhile, the thing is in the Bible. Anybody can make a mistake. But when you begin to operate at a mystical level, all these higher dimensions, higher mysteries, better check it very well. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees in the garden. Now, look at this verse. Did they hide behind the tree that they ate? That tree of knowledge. Was that where they hid? They went back to the trees that they were authorized to touch. Can you see? Just take this scripture and put it beside your decisions and your life. You will see all the places where you've broken. Why the situation you have in our prayer cannot resolve it. Why prayer cannot resolve it? Because you have made so many wrong decisions. The only thing for God to do is to wipe the slate and say, start again. We can't correct this one. That's why the preaching of mercy is very popular. It's very sweet. Because people have done things. God have mercy. Eh? Because we have done things. The only thing remaining now is just for God to be having mercy. Because there's no way at it bankrupt. We've touched the abominable things. Look at these guys. They didn't hide. They didn't want it to look like they touched what God said don't touch. They went to stay among the trees that God said you can touch. But God was not deceived. Because the first sign that God will use to identify that something is wrong with you is that he will not be able to find you in his radar. Even if you are standing in front of him. And when God to the garden, what did God ask them? Say, Adam, where are thou? Do you sincerely think that God will be in a place and will not know where Adam is? Do you really think God needs that kind of education? In his GP, GPS, it's malfunctioning. It's on 3G, 2G. Battery is low. God came all the way from heaven to earth, entered the garden, and is looking for Adam. I hope you know this garden is not that one behind the type your mom has behind the house. This garden is an entire piece of land. It's massive. Somewhere in my head, I used to think from Sunday school, Bible school, that it was a small garden. But I realized a large expanse of land, like maybe almost like the city of Lagos. But do you honestly think that the one who has eyes and can see everything doesn't really know where Adam is? What God was trying to depict here is that, Adam, I can't find you in my presence again. And that's the first thing sin will do to you. That's the first thing, deception. Because deception will keep giving you the impression you are okay. But for some reason, you know in your heart, you are far from God. So this message is not to make you feel bad. It's for you to see Satan's master strategy, which is deception. You keep giving the confidence that you are okay. Nobody holy. Nobody sabi. All of us now, God's mercy will define. If you perfect, make you talk. You are going to hell. When you start hearing things like that, and they are overstressing it. And the man said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Give me the next scripture. I heard your voice in the garden. Verse 10. And I was what? I was what? For all of you that say you want to hear God's voice, are you sure you really want it? Because you're already touching. If you're already touching, that's where God will start his conversation from. The thing with touching is that you want to touch more. Abi now? We are not talking. Give me that scripture. I said the thing about touching. Anything God says you should not touch. Once you touch it, you touch again. And then you get to a point, is the touching that will be touching you, because you can't even control yourself again. You now shout, ha, oh God, Mugbe, oh God, oh God. Because now you have your mat, you are finished. Look at, he said, I heard your voice. I was. What did David tell us? He said, I rejoice at your word as one that, what? Finds great spoil for a man in God's presence. A man that strays from God's presence, he will live in fear of that voice. Please, are you with me? Church is quiet too. Maybe Pastor David should have just taken, even though his own message is not even better than my own. I asked him, he said his message is on the Kana Christian. So you see that I'm a better person. I'm even better than Pastor David. Come here, I put the blame on the serpent. Pastor David is here to put the blame on you. There's one song like that. So you can put the blame on me. Better tell us what you are looking for. Look at that scripture. Some people, you know the funny thing is that it's not as if I don't know this song, so I just remember them. It's not like if you are thinking a pastor, I don't know the song. I just know that it has a prophetic. So you can put the blame on me. Let's know what you want. This one that you are telling her, you can put the blame on me. Tell us what you really want. Because that's how you start. That's how you start. Then later you say it's not you, it's you. Say it wasn't me, it's you. Give me that scripture. He said I was afraid. Now, what were some of the indices I told you when a man, I gave to you already? Look at your notes. That I said if a man has deviated from God, please stay on this scripture. That I said you will observe. Look at your notes. What did I say? Huh? You said? He will become touchy. He won't want to, he will be sensitive to God's presence because God's presence is holy. What else did I say? Look at your notes. Sir, if there are some messages he will begin to avoid and some men of God. He will not like Pastor Kumuyi. He will be listening to all these small preachers because those ones, they are always preaching on principles. Principles. Everywhere you go is principle. They have turned the whole Bible to principle. If you want principle, go to Lagos Business School now. Does God want you to prosper? The idea of your prosperity is tied with God, not man. So don't even oversweat it. I said that there are certain things you begin to observe. Number one, you become very sensitive. Say, sister, can you come for a prayer meeting? I'm actually not feeling too fine. You are reacting. Because you know that you cannot pray well because of where you are coming from. Number two, you cover yourself with figs. Self-righteousness. Are we together? Self-righteousness. Yeah. Who only pass? Even that pastor, we don't know what he's doing. You better. So you see self-righteousness. Give me that scripture. The one we are on just now. Let's wrap up quickly. Number three is that you begin to walk in fear. So when I heard your voice, I became afraid. You are afraid. You are thinking that maybe God wants to judge you and condemn you. Meanwhile, every time God speaks, he wants to help you. Stay on that scripture. You say, I was afraid. You see why some people say, Pastor, I know I'm always plagued with fear. In power, Holy Ghost, come out. It will not go. Because the source of that fear is not ordinary. Somebody has deviated from God. So can you even see that for all of you that say you are always afraid of the future? It's a sign that you don't stay long enough in God's presence. Fear cannot survive God's presence. If you stay long enough, I don't know what will happen to me tomorrow. I don't know if I'll just die suddenly. My children, my wife, my spouse, go and stay in God's presence. The moment Adam came out, he started nursing fear. So you see that will my business survive? Will I marry? Will I have children? This thing the doctor said they saw. My sister, go and soak yourself. That's why we tell people to learn how to stay in God's presence. Pray, study, meditate, listen to worship. Because those things will not allow fear to survive. The moment you come out like this, you are exposed. Give me that scripture. He said, because I realized I was naked. Hello? Since the day God made them, did he ever tell them they were naked? You see, when a man strays from God's presence, his utterance will begin to change. If you see a man that used to be a spiritual person, that is close to God, that used to be full of faith, you don't, like the way this pastor or this brother was talking, like, it's not him. Look at what this brother said. He said, I was naked. Excuse me, when God created Adam, did he create him naked? The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of what? What was Adam clothed with when God created him? So how did you know you are naked? You have been listening to somebody. That's how God knew somebody came. Come for Bible study. You will not come. You just want to say, receive it now. Receive it now. When we come on Sunday, I will now take Pastor Ayo's message. I will give you the teaching angle to it. Because some things don't respond to amen. The city set upon the hill. And I will show you on Sunday, the Lord willing, that it is the Lord that sets the city on the hill. And that for God to make up his mind that you are ready to be visible, there are conditions that must be met. Jesus made those conditions for 30 years for God to give that announcement. See, you are the city set on the hill. If you just read it and shout amen, I went to sleep. It says salt. But salt can lose its savor. You are the city set on the hill, but you may not be visible. You are the candle. Before God will set you upon the candlestick and tell the world to come to your light, there are certain things he will see. Before he says, this is my beloved son, hear him. You know, there were two times God said that thing to his own son. No. The first one, I say, it's my beloved son, in whom and where pleased. The second time he said, after Jesus had been teaching and preaching for years, God now said, this is my son, hear him. After preaching. So that means even God waited and checked the doctrine. Let's see what he is saying. They checked him in character, in conduct, his doctrine. Checked his own son. Before he now says, I recommend him. Begin to listen to him. Anything that grows, even if you say it's God that told you to start, and it grows overnight and becomes popular, there's yeast inside. And yeast is a symbol of sin in the scripture. And the next question, God, so that brother said he realized he was naked. Let's just round up here. Are you blessed tonight? So this message is, you know, this is why I look at the Bible. Go back to verse 10. When I see a scripture like this, there it makes me understand that there is no strategy that Satan will bring out in this world again that God did not document. Every time I see the way Satan handles some people in the Bible, what I'm seeing is all the possible ways Satan can come for me. All the possible ways. So don't look at it as a killjoy scripture. No. God is just trying to let you see that if I put you somewhere and you are not listening to me, you are listening to somebody I did not call. God called you. You now went to Lagos Business School. Is that where they called you from? Lagos Business School is good for your personal development and all of that. And if I have my money, I'll go there. But I don't confuse it with my calling. That one is for consulting and making money. If I'm a comedian, most likely I probably would have been a comedian if I was not a bank. But if I was a comedian and a pastor, I will consecrate my tongue not to do comedy again if I'm on the altar. I will go outside and do it for you. Collect my money. If you see me at the junction that I say, MC this thing, I will stone you. Especially if I'm entering the church. Because now I'm pastor. But once I enter this church, lift up your voice and magnify. You will not say, which comedy? God punish comedy. What is comedy? This is the house of God. You say, how is he combining? That's the way it is. It's just like a doctor coming here now. And instead of preaching divinely, he will tell you to come to his hospital. Sir. So why are you not sitting in the hospital? You come and hold my care. And everything I do is telling us to come to your hospital. And don't you believe in healing? Say, yes, but God uses doctor. I say, like we have to look for another church. Because this pastor, I don't think he's a real pastor. I think he's a doctor. He's just looking for client. You go to the hospital, say, meet me in my private hospital. Because we are going on strike very soon here. He said I was naked, so somebody already felt exposed. Have you ever come before God's presence before and you felt like you are not worthy? So that's the nakedness. Once you start having those feelings, that is the Holy Spirit telling you, don't move forward. Settle this thing before you come. Right there where you are, begin to ask for mercy. And thank God we have mercy in Christ. Hallelujah. Because some of you, after you've done the wrong thing, you talk to all the wrong set of people, you will never talk to Jesus. Talking to your best friend about what you did will not make it better. Yes. Yes. This issue of deception is the reason why some people believe that some sins are still okay. Like a Christian who is plagued with the spirit of anger, he doesn't know it's a spirit. He thinks, I just don't like cheating. He will be telling you, I don't like cheating. I can kill. The way he's talking, like, this is our head of prayer. Like, so you too, you kept quiet because you don't want to be a victim. So, but you know, because he's looking confident, we don't want to, it doesn't look like a bad thing. It's not like fornication. Eh? But it's a spirit. Anger is a spirit. But the brother will never admit he's possessed. Because he's the head of prayer. I was watching a video 2 days ago where a pastor was casting out a devil out of another pastor. I'm telling you, I've never seen it before. Then the friend said, who brought him? Say, you too, you have a demon. Take it. He delivered both of them. So, if you remind me, I will come and address that one. Because now, I want to stay inside the Bible. Eh? I don't want to be popular for the wrong reasons. In God's presence, so I don't care about man, but before God, God should be able to say, we can trust this one. And as long as that's your motive as a Christian, God will not allow you to stray so far. Are you with me? I say if you are straying, God will not allow you to stray because you are seeing your mind. After he discovered he was naked, what did he do? Give me the scripture. Let's round up here. Time is gone. Verse 10. I realized I was naked and I did what? I did what? They stopped coming to church. I seen them. Those are the team of I join only online service. Can you see them? Please, are you with me? Some people are hearing this thing, they will not change because their heart is filled. He said, look at it. He said, I was naked and I hid myself. When you realize you are in trouble, you are supposed to run to the rock that is higher than you. But for some reason, your self-righteousness told you, you have to fix yourself. Because the church will not accept you the way you are. The church is for sick people. Come that way. And when you come, sit in front. So that you can hear the word of God. And when it's time to pray, cry and pray. Don't say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You that you are in sin, you now came and you are dancing at doing praise worship. Is that what you should? God, and I promise them today will be okay. Can you imagine? The next question, and let me just stop here in verse 11. And God said, who told you that what? That you are naked. Verse 11. Every time you have a conversation with the serpent, that's what happens. God will be misrepresented and you yourself will find yourself in a very, very tight spot. The summary of this conversation is that man fell from his estate. Man fell from the place of glory and dominion God gave him because he listened to the serpent. He was, before that time, listening to God. But the window that they were able to get to listen to another voice, look at what happened. This is the price of that those who say they want to hear God's voice will pay. You cannot listen to another voice. You want God to begin to direct you. You want God to begin to lead you. Once you go to him and say, God, I want you to always lead me in my life, my business, my family, everything about me, I want you to lead me. From that, the day God starts talking to you, any other thing people tell you is an advice. It's not an instruction. The moment God tells you, go left, that's it. How I wish this woman had a pastor. Don't you think the situation would have been better? A pastor that can face them. And I hope you know that Adam and Eve were not poor. So for you to cancel them, you must be in your right senses. There were four rivers, and I'm going to talk about this. After that, we have another meeting tagged back to Eden. I'll talk about the four rivers. There are four rivers that are in the that flowed into the garden, and one of it is gold. Gold. That's prosperity. Prosperity. So you want to cancel a person like Madam Eve. It means you don't want us to pay our tithe here again. That's the meaning. The Lord will help us. I think the most important part of this message is that before you start praying and speaking in tongues, because sometimes people speak in tongues because mentally they are lazy. Some people cannot pray for 15 minutes in their language. They are lazy. Before they say the prayer point, start speaking in tongues. There's nothing wrong with that. But it could be a sign that mentally you don't know how to engage. I want you to take some time to think and look at how the most powerful man on earth and his wife came down. Then look at yourself and ask yourself, is this how you want to continue? From that day, God started the work of redemption that has brought us to this point. That's why the word of God said, there is no other name that has been given unto man. By which man, I think that should be Acts chapter 4, probably verse 12, I think. By which men can be saved, except the name of Jesus. So if you have truly heard this message, if you have truly heard me, it will bring you back to Jesus. Then you can reset the clock. Because what Jesus will do for you is that he will reset the clock. So that your past will no longer count against you. But if you hide, and cover yourself with figs, fig leaves, and give the impression that you are okay spiritually, it's okay for you not to be okay. But you should be able to say, Pastor, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. Sometimes when you tell your sister, I'm not okay, she too will tell you, I'm not okay. Then both of you will pray for each other. Not that somebody tells you, I'm not okay, pray for me. You now begin to behave as if you are the only one that has seen God. Meanwhile, you are even struggling with worse things. The Lord will give us understanding. The Lord will help us by his mercy to avoid the error of deception. That amen is weak. It's something we should be afraid of. Because if a woman who has seen God with her eyes could be deceived, then you know it is not of him that will it. Not of him that what? But of God. Who does what? Who shows mercy. So the first errand of mercy is to keep you on the journey. To keep you on the journey towards heaven. That's the first errand of mercy. That means you will actually will. You will actually run. But it is actually God that what? That will give mercy to finish. Let's bow our heads. I want you to receive grace tonight and mercy. For those of you that are struggling in your faith and your walk with God, I want you to pray. And ask God in the next 1 minute. Ask him for help. Ask him for mercy. If you have anything you need to repent of, go ahead in 1 minute and repent. Many of us need to repent from running away from God's presence. We have not sought the Lord. We have not been seeking him enough. We've not studied our scriptures enough. We've not prayed enough. We've not walked by faith. We have trusted in men and not God. I want us to ask for mercy tonight. The Bible says God is always willing to have mercy on those who trust him. Are you asking God for mercy? This is something we can all do with tonight. We need mercy. For those who are online, I want you to go ahead and pray. and ask for mercy, and ask for mercy, and ask for mercy, and ask for mercy. Ask for mercy for yourself, ask for mercy for your loved ones, and ask that the grace of God will establish them in the counsel of Jesus Christ.